Good afternoon. I invite you to turn with me again to the book of Proverbs and to the chapter which was read in our hearing earlier on, chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I'd like us to just read the first 9 verses of that chapter. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in his sight, in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart return my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Let us pray. Father, we wish to submit to you once again as you invite us to look into your word. We pray, dear Father, that as per instructions here, not only will we hear, but that indeed we also return that which we have heard in our hearts. Instruct us, dear Father, help us to learn and draw us nearer even to you. Be with us by the power of the Spirit of God, even as we pray in the blessed name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this afternoon, I speak again from the book of Proverbs, and specifically I'm speaking from chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. If you recall, I have tended to speak from Proverbs whenever I've had chance to do so. And I have been attracted to this book, Proverbs, mainly because of the way it addresses the issues to do with the young people. And particularly chapters 1 all the way to chapter 9 is full of an appeal to the young. And it's like you have a conversation. Solomon has a conversation with his son. And repeatedly, he appeals to the son to hear his instruction. And in the pleas that comes out of Solomon to his son, you sense the emotions. You see the energy in which he puts into the pleas. And if you carefully read, you sense the agency of the matter that Solomon places before his son. Now, in selecting to speak on Proverbs chapter 1, chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, I have particularly the young adults and their young children, and indeed the families that they are raising to encourage them to train the young children that they have in the gospel, in wisdom, to start early, to be ambitious about raising a generation through these young people that will go on to impact the world, to deliberately indeed train them even for that. Our text appeals to Solomon's children in this way. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. It is the same format which Solomon uses in chapter 1 and verse 8 when he makes this very powerful introduction. But in verse 8, chapter 1, he says, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. So the son must listen both to the father and also to the mother. The mother sets the law in the sense that she enforces that which has already been set by the father. And this is the same appeal you get in chapter 2, verses 1 to 9, chapter 5, verses 1 to 2, and chapter 6, verse 1. And in each case, Solomon makes a plea. Solomon is anxious about giving instructions to his son. And once he makes that plea, he goes on to lay out moral and ethical principles by which the son should live. Now, taken together, these principles will constitute what we call as wisdom or knowledge. Indeed, the entire book of Proverbs and other wisdom books, and dare I say, the entire Word of God, as we find it in the Bible, can really be referred to as wisdom. All the instructions therein is referred to as wisdom. You read these books, you have a door opened for you by way of wisdom. And if we can describe this as a door, dear friends, we surely will recognize that the hinge on which this door turns is found in chapter 1 and verse 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. And there we read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And that says it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In other words, without fearing the Lord, without recognizing God as a sovereign who reigns over all, without accepting him as the creator of heaven and earth and all that which lives under the sea, without accepting his rule over you admitting him as your Lord, as your Savior. If you do not do this, any of this, indeed you have no wisdom. You are still under darkness. And there are only two people in this world. There are those who are wise because they have recognized this. And there are those who are not. And Solomon describes them as being foolish. So to hear the instruction and fear the Lord, as we have said, is indeed wisdom. From the passage that is before us, I would like us to speak on 3 points. One, the call to the Father to instruct generations to come. The call to the Father to instruct generations to come. Two is the instruction itself. What is that instruction which the Father should give out? Number three is the risk. The risk that exists in breaking the generation chain of instruction. There is a chain which moves from generation to generation. A father instructing the son. But there's always the risk that this chain could be disrupted. So first we start with the call to instruct generations to come. Now, if you reading what we've already said that this is structured in the same way as we find in chapter 1, the same pattern. Hear, my son, and obey the law of your mother. But here, in this case, there is a difference. And the difference is in two small and very small areas, and yet very significant in terms of detail. First is that the invitation in this case is not to a son. The invitation is to children. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. And it looks like Solomon is opening a small window for us to see that it's not only his personal son, but it is children, not only children in the household, but children indeed elsewhere. In other words, we see the fact that whenever Solomon refers to the son, whenever he says, hear, my son, the instruction of a father, Solomon is basically talking about all of us. He's talking about children, who may be children at this particular time. Of course, we see that very quickly in verse 10, if we had proceeded, you see that he is still talking about his son. But we also see the fact that Solomon does not speak alone in this case. He is talking of his own personal relationship with his father, King David. And he says this in verse 3. Let me start from verse 2. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, He also taught me and said to me, then quote from verse 4b all the way to verse 9. He is quoting what his father David instructed him. And it's very interesting. When you read chapter 1 to chapter 9, which are more specifically directed at Solomon's son, so to speak, you see that these are just basically expanding on the few statements, the few lines in which Solomon quotes his father. Solomon was taught by David. Solomon, he is teaching his children. He's teaching all of us. And by so doing, we see just how this word, these instructions, are passing from one generation to another generation. From David to Solomon, and Solomon to his child, and perhaps going forward, the child will also teach his own children. And therefore, the wise word which exists in the household of David continues to pass on. It continues to go on. It continues to exist. What David spoke at one time to his son, he is long dead, is light, silent in the grave. But what he spoke continues to speak through Solomon, through his children, and through generation to generation. This is very important, dear friends. This is how we're going to impact a nation. This is how we're going to influence the world. We start with our children. We teach them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We point to them moral principles by which they should live. And having heard, having listened, having indeed retained that word in their own hearts, they impact, they influence the world. They influence the world. What do we learn from what's happening here? Well, number one is the fact that God calls every father to teach their children. God calls every father, and should I also add, every mother, indeed the parents, to teach their children, to set the law, and indeed to instruct them with tears sometimes, with begging, with appeals that might be emotional, because the subject matter is so very important. Hear, my son, retain wisdom. Do not forsake my law, this and the other. So God calls every father, every mother, to teach their children. Now, we also learn from here that it's not just for the fathers who have the time to teach. Every father should teach. It's not just those whom you can think, yes, they have perhaps the luxury to spend on this. Think of David. Think of Solomon. What kind of persons were there? Very busy people, I'm sure. They had the affairs of the nation before them. They needed to think through a lot of things. They needed to hold together the nation of Israel. But even them had to teach their children. They had to lay out the law before their children. Thirdly, it's the fact that every father, knowing that wisdom is the principal theme, this is how wisdom is described in verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. So wisdom being the principal thing, every father must put priority on the obligation to teach the children. That must be the priority. It is the only way we can explain how David could find the time to teach Solomon and others. It is the only way we can explain how Solomon himself could find the time to sit down with his children, day by day, perhaps, every time, now and again, to teach them concerning God's word. And if we come to think of it, this principal thing called wisdom should be the one important thing that the father thinks he can give to his children. It should be the one important thing that the father should strive to leave behind long after he's gone, if nothing else. If there is one thing that should remain speaking concerning the father, it's this: what is being called as the principal thing. And principal thing, dear friends, simply means the first in importance. Long after the father's tongue is silenced, the words of wisdom, the words of a father, the words of the gospel given to the child, long after he is gone, should remain speaking and resounding the voice of the father. It should not be worth. It should not be. It's good to leave behind some wealth for your children, but that's not the most important thing you should leave behind. It should not be your accomplishments. Good if you have accomplished something to leave behind to your children. It's the words that you spoke to your children. You sat down with them and indeed discussed these things. And I think that, you know, children, all of us, we like to quote what our fathers and our mothers once said to us. I do that very, very often to myself, and perhaps when I'm speaking to other people. And it just let be assured that your children are going to quote you in one thing or the other, at one time or another. But the question is, when the son or the daughter you leave behind says, many years after, my father used to tell me this and that. My mother said this and the other thing. The question is, what exactly are they going to court? Solomon, here, he is quoting words of wisdom. He is quoting instructions from the Father. And indeed, you can see that herein are the wise words of God. Words that will impact him. Words that will affect others. Words that indeed expound the principles of life. Words that are life in themselves. What is your son? What is your daughter going to say that you said to them? Oh, dear friends, indeed, our desire should be that when we are long gone, we'll be remembered for the wisdom that we passed on to our children. Let us now turn and look at the instruction. What instruction should our children hear? What instruction does a father continue to speak long after he's gone? In very summary form, as we have said, Solomon has stated it here from verse 4b. Let your heart return my words, keep my commands and live. This is what David indeed said to Solomon. And the main thing that Solomon puts across as having heard from the Father is, of course, wisdom. And when you look at these verses coming from verse 3 onwards, you see that the weight here is put on wisdom. It's mentioned 4 times or 5 times just in this very short passage. But also see the punch or the drama that David puts behind the words related to wisdom. He says, get wisdom in verse 5. Get understanding. And then he says, and in all your getting, get understanding. That's the last part of verse 7. That is really dramatizing even the statement or the importance of this one thing. In all your understanding, in all your getting, get understanding. In other words, you can get everything in this world. But make sure, my son, that you do not leave out getting understanding, getting wisdom. So the instruction, therefore, has to be on getting understanding. That should be the emphasis. And if we go back to chapter 1, verse 8, we are talking of instructing the child in the fear of God. That a child will come to a point where they appreciate who God is, where they desire and want to submit to the Lord, and where indeed they want to acknowledge God as Lord and Savior. That should be the aspiration in our teaching our children. But also, in giving instruction, we see just how David, don't forget David is the one being quoted here, how David shows the value and the importance of wisdom. The value and the importance of wisdom. And towards the end, therefore, from verse 7, David begins to personify wisdom. And he arrives in verse 8, says, exalt her, that is, exalt wisdom, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor. When you embrace her, she will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver to you. This is the importance of wisdom. He's showing. This is the value of wisdom. My son, the only thing in life that's going to promote you is wisdom. The only thing in life that will ensure that you live in this world in honor is actually wisdom. The only thing that will make you have an impact on society in such a way that you are considered honorable, it is wisdom. It's not the wealth that I have. And Solomon was the richest person at one time in the world. It's not the fact that you are a prince. You are born out of my household. It is getting wisdom. And through wisdom, beginning to fear God, beginning to submit to Him, beginning indeed to worship Him and admit Him as your King, as your Lord, as your Savior. Well, let's come to the last segment of what we have here. The risk of breaking the chain of instruction. Why is it the case that although it is so important that this instruction is passed on from generation to generation, normally it's not done and not done to the fullest extent. Normally, we are failing to do that. Normally, we do not prioritize the duty that Solomon calls us to do. Why is this the case? Well, the first and the most obvious is obviously the father who does not do what Solomon is doing here. He does not give to his child what Solomon calls as good doctrine. A father who does not teach their son to obtain wisdom. A father and mother who does not set the law that this child should follow, who does not plead with the son, hear my words, hear my instructions, get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. does not do this. A father who perhaps we may call as being negligent concerning the task before us. A father who is too busy to do justice, or does not appreciate that the principal thing that he should give to his children is what we have here in chapter 4. What is being called as wisdom, the first in importance. The father does not appreciate this. That maybe he thinks there are other important things, other things that are more important than this. And therefore, his number one task and emphasis is to get these other things for his children. Is to get maybe a good education for them. Is to get wealth for them. Is to expose them to other societies in this world. That's what he has put emphasis on, and therefore he neglects the task which is before him. And I can assure you, dear friends, that when this father's tongue lies silent, because it must accompany the rest of the body to the grave, that will be the end. There will be no word flowing through that line of family. It will cease. The impact of a generation will stop there. And that's very, 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 very sad. So we must all strive. We must be challenged in this. Secondly, breaking the chain of instruction. Second thing is the son forsaking wisdom. The son forsaking wisdom. Now, to forsake is to declare disinterest. To perhaps have nothing to do with the subject matter. It is to refuse to submit to what is being required of you. And oh, dear friends, just how many children are in this category? Born in a Christian home, born to a Christian mother and father, and perhaps the parents being faithful in teaching their children, pleading, praying with tears even, that the son should choose to have nothing to do with wicked ways. And yet they reject all this. They reject all this. Oh, dear friends, it's very, very sad when this happens, and it's happening in our circles, in our church, and in Christendom more generally, where the gospel of the Father has been rejected by the children. And instead, they have picked other things which are foreign to what they have been taught. So if you are a child listening to me, I would like to plead with you in the same manner that Solomon pleads with his children. Hear the instruction of a father. Give attention. Do not forsake the law of your father. Return it into your heart. Allow that law to speak to your heart, to your conscience, to your mind. May you be persuaded and follow the paths and ways laid out in the scriptures taught by your Father. What a third, and lastly, breaking the chain of instruction over generations. The third is the son who forgets the word of wisdom of the father. And this is the other thing that Solomon was concerned about. Do not forsake my law. Do not forget. And twice it is said to us. Now, this is the son who has heard the gospel. This is the son who showed excitement concerning their faith. They showed some signs of accepting what was being taught to them. They showed some signs of experiencing the word of God. And indeed, they were excited. They went to church. They came to church. They could recite many Bible verses. They could even go out with other people to speak the gospel. They know the gospel. And indeed, here they are, showing every excitement. But life experience over the years come to reveal that perhaps the seed that was planted on very shallow grounds, was planted on thorns, was planted on rocks, and in the course of time, they have allowed the birds of the air to snatch even that seed. They are no longer in the ways of God, in the ways of their father, of their mother. And just like in the first case of outright forsaking, they also come to a point where they forsake that which they seemed to have embraced at one time or the other. And this is very sad. This is very sad. And the danger that the fathers and mothers should be aware of is to ensure that when the child, when the son, when the daughter is being taught, and when the daughter is saying, yes, I have become a believer, that indeed there is substance and there is an evaluation, so to speak, to see the genuineness of what this child is saying. Because if the faith, if the so-called repentance is not deep enough, we'll find that in due course, this child has forsaken, or they have left the faith that they once said they embraced. So in these three words, dear friends, we can find that the chain of instructing one generation to another gets broken. And therefore, we should be careful. We should pray. Indeed, we should desire that what we are planting in our children is well done and indeed begins to bear fruit, and that our children will stand on their own feet and they will go on to be bulwarks in the faith and bulwarks in the household of the Lord. Well, let me end this by concluding with a few remarks. The first is the need to realize that what is the most important thing that a father can give and the mother can give a child is wisdom. Now, the reason why most of us do not prioritize the need to do what David and Solomon are doing is because we are not very convinced that indeed wisdom is the principal thing, the first in importance. We have other things in mind. We have other things which we have equated perhaps with the gospel. Other things which we think are equal in importance. And perhaps we are torn in between this and what we have here through the mouth of David. So we do not care as we ought to care. We do not find the time as we ought to find the time. We are easily distracted by the other things. Oh, dear friends, we need to come to that position that the legacy that we need to leave behind us with our children is the legacy of the gospel, the legacy of wisdom, the principal theme. And therefore, given this, everything should be structured around this. Very, very important. Whether it is work, whether it is time spent with friends and family, whether it's rest, even rest at home, should be structured in such a way that this duty is done and it is always done. In fact, if it's a job which is getting in the way, you should do something about it. You should do something about it. And if it is impossible for you to do something about this job, my word to you is look for something else. Look for something else. Because at the end of the day, you must be left with enough space to fulfill this particular duty. Secondly, appreciate very early in the upbringing of the children that you as a father, you as the mother, you are the best teacher that can ever be to your child. Don't rely on Sunday school. Children can be taken to Sunday school, and that's very good. Don't rely on some Christian school somewhere in the corner of Zambia. Well, that can be good sometimes. But at the end of the day, Just think of this, that there is no substitute to you. No one can replace you. Others can help, but the trainee is you. Just think of David. Think of Solomon. So many people to help them. They could mobilize all these people, and all these people who do a wonderful job. And yet Solomon, in all his business, he sits down with his children, indeed, to instruct them. But thirdly, and lastly, is the need to think very early and to be ambitious. From the word go, what you want this child to be? What we you want? What impact you want them to have on the world? The mistakes some of us have made, who are not made as much aware of these things, is that we had children coming into the world, and indeed, you know, we didn't sit down to say, now, what shall we feed into this child so that this child goes on to have the utmost impact on the world, walks the way of the gospel, indeed bring many others into the kingdom. Well, not sitting down. And for you, you have a young family. You have these children coming in. Sit down as a couple. What are our aspirations? What are we going to do? What tools are we therefore going to put at the disposal of this child so that by and by, indeed, he or she gets to grow into a person that fears God, and a person able indeed to have impact, not only on our nation, but also on the world. This indeed, I believe, should be our utmost desire, aspiration, and let's pray that the Lord will help all of us who are beginning to have children. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, how encouraging are these words sung concerning the faith of our fathers. We thank you, dear Father, for those of us whose fathers have been believers, and from them we learned wisdom, and by it now we can live. We also thank you that even for those that have not had Christian fathers, believers, yet they have had a father in you. You brought them to a situation, a point where they could believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And from you, dear Father, over time, they have come to learn the instructions as David, as Solomon gave them to their children. Father, you have armed us with your word. We pray that even as we are having children come forth into the world, that you help us, that you arm us, dear Father, with the necessary understanding, tools to give to our children, that they begin to appreciate early the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they submit to Him. We desire, yearn, and pray that is our children, O God, not only will you affect them, but they will be indeed given the understanding, the zeal, the ability, the gifts, O God, to go on and conquer the world. We wish to submit them to you and pray that you will do a mighty work, not only on this generation, but many, many generations to come. Thank you for today, O God. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for speaking your word to our hearts. Thank you for all that we have learned. We commend ourselves in the week before us. Help us, dear Father, as we navigate. For some, indeed, things may not be easy, whether at work, whether in the family, or elsewhere. But Father, we wish to put ourselves in your hands and pray that you carry us, that indeed, dear Father, you'll be very close to us. So we pray, dear Father, that you dismiss us with your blessing, even as we go our separate ways, in Jesus' name. Amen.